Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah. It's a new
experience.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome to Reality Spirituality. I'm your host, Rebecca Lynn Norrington, and today I have a live wire, a firecracker, dynamite guest, Jim Young, and I'm going to get to know him on the show. But it's funny, we've been going back and forth with email, Facebook messages, and this guy, and I spoke with him very briefly, this guy reminds me of me. He's pretty spunky, and that's really annoying. I'm just kidding. But I'm really excited to have to speak with Jim. And before we do, I want to share with my new listeners. You know, I have new listeners every month. Thank you so much for spreading the word about Reality Spirituality. And for the new listeners, you're probably wondering, well, what kind of show is this? Who is this, Rebecca Lynn Norrington? What is going on? The answer is this show, Reality Spirituality, is me sharing with you what I've learned in the last, decades. My focus, my agenda, my foundation, my intention in every single moment of my day, in every waking hour, is to be happy. And when I say happy, I mean a internal, a knowing, peace and contentment. Regardless, I like to give the analogy of being out in the middle of the ocean, and you're on a single boat, and the waves are high and the waves are low, and you're on this boat and you're standing up, and it's a rocky boat sometimes, and sometimes the seas are calm and quiet. But regardless of what the ocean brings you, whether it's tidal waves, whether it's typhoons, whatever it is, you still remain calm and centered in that boat. This life is not going to be an easy ride. Well, let me scratch that, because I don't like labels. Scratch that. This journey, this life, is a life of a lot of experiences, tons of experiences, and it is up to us. I don't have control over what happens to me, but I definitely have control over my perspective about what is happening. I have control over my personal vibration. I have control over my attitude, my response. I have control over my behavior, my words. I have control over all of that. And depending on what I choose, how I choose to look at every situation, every event, every circumstance, every experience is going to determine how I feel, and it's also going to determine my personal vibration. And so I am a self-proclaimed happiness specialist, and that means that I am looking for, regardless of what it is, the lesson. Everything that happens to me is a gift and is a hidden lesson, a lesson that is going to bring me more peace, more happiness, more contentment, more connection to the universe. And that's who I am, and that's what this show is about. So today, I have someone along with me on the ride, and his name is Jim Young. He's an award-winning spiritual author, poet and photographer, applying spiritual perception in all aspects of his life's calling. I'm not going to go on with all of his credentials, because credentials are titles and exactly achievements. Perfect. But I really want to get to know who the man is behind the credentials. Jim Young, welcome to the program. Welcome to Reality Spirituality.
Oh, thank you, Rebecca. Thanks for inviting me to be with you. I don't know if I can live up to the moniker you've given me of spunky, but I'll do my best.
Well, you know you're spunky. It's just natural. It's who you are. So you don't even have to live up to it. And one of the things I was reading on your – thank you so much for being here – on your Facebook post just today, you were talking about – and I'm just going to dive into it. You were talking about how it annoys – I don't know if you use the word annoys, but I'm just going to use it – how it bothers you or annoys you when people use the term unconditional love.
Mm-hmm.
You posted that a couple of days ago, correct?
I did indeed, yeah.
And so what did you mean by that?
Well, I use the word troubled, and I'd say
troubled.
Because it's I've, over the years, have looked a lot at metaphysics and trying to look at the difference between the life of duality, which is our ego consciousness, and the life of coming from our heart, as you described in the opening of your show, coming from the inside out. And when we talk about unconditional love, what it posits in our mind is that then, well, if there's something, pardon me, called unconditional love, then there must be something called conditional love. No, something that's conditional is not love at all.
Right.
And so what we've done is we've learned to manipulate words in a way to make people feel good about the fact that we'll love them no matter what. So we call that unconditional love. But as a matter of fact, if we just learn that the word love means that, we don't start applying things that throw us into this world of duality where we're always comparing and contrasting things and trying to make ourselves finally good enough in the eyes of others, but more importantly, in our own eyes. So that's essentially what it's about. And I've had a few people write me back, and we've gone back and forth on it. But it's really about the love that unites us all, not about the fear that we get into that someone's going to stop loving us if we make a mistake or say something wrong, whatever. That has nothing to do with love. Love is there always and can't be changed unless we really don't know what love is at all.
Right, right. One of the things, and I agree with you totally, one of the things that I've learned on my journey is these words that I use, even if I'm teaching or even if I'm writing,
mm-hmm.
are very limiting. All words are limiting. And the reason why, okay, you know what? Let me ask you, Jim Young, why are words limiting, in your opinion?
Well, because they trigger beliefs and opinions about life. And you know, I've seen so many times that people say, if you just believe something, it'll happen. Well, to me, beliefs and opinions are highly limiting because there's always something behind them that's larger or grander or more the truth than what it is. You know, the world was once flat, we thought. That was a belief that people had for centuries, and all of a sudden it became round. Well, did it become round or did our view of it change? So to me, whatever we say with words provides a framework to trigger something that we have from the life we've lived that people told us is the truth. Is it the truth? Hardly. It can only be the truth for how they see things in their system of beliefs and opinions, but it doesn't mean it's the real truth. That, to me, comes only from the inside by going into the still, small space within us and listening.
Ooh.
So there.
I like that. I like that, and I'm gonna just add on to that because I love what you said, and just the realization. Number one, the realization that our words are limiting, because whatever anyone else, you know, I can't even pretend to be to know what someone else is feeling or like you say, believing or defining a word, because I'm not them. I'm not in their skin. I don't have their experiences. And so even the conversation, it's even a really small conversation can throw what the intention of what you want to say out. But another way of communicating, this a couple years ago, maybe 3 years ago, I chose to not speak for 40 days. 40 days I didn't say a word. But how I communicated was with my energy. And energy is always the truth. You can feel energy. You can feel it. So just also adding to your speaking and limiting words, because everybody has different beliefs, it's also learning to communicate more with energy.
Mm-hmm. Well, yes, and I'll bet that every room you walked in lit up like a Christmas tree, too, during that time, because your energy is so ebullient and filled with light. I mean, I don't have to see you to know that. I can feel your energy, Rebecca. Mm-hmm. And particularly when we stop talking for a period of time and we get into a place or someone looks at us, our energy has shifted for the better. It's a much higher vibration, as you know. And you say so well. You say so well. Can I go back to the thing about words and limitation for a second?
Please.
Let's take the word experience. You said that you mentioned that we have a world of experiences, and we can't tell how someone else's experiences affect them. That's a word that I've looked at very hard, and the word experience. And people say, I had this experience or that experience. Well, to me, what that really means is something happened in their life, a set of circumstances or conditions in which they chose to experience it in a certain way. It wasn't the thing itself. It's how they chose to look at it, how they chose to experience it, how they resonated with it in their heart of hearts. To me, that's really the essence of what being our true selves is about, pardon me, is listening for that resonance in a conversation. As I was listening to you talk about that, I'm just sitting here and letting my heart be open and saying, okay, what am I really hearing here? And all of a sudden the word experience came back up, and I thought, well, I don't know what I'm going to say about that, but when my mouth opens up, it'll come out. So to me, it's how do we experience it? It's not the thing itself. That is an event, a circumstance. And then what do we lay at? What kind of layer do we put on it? What kind of lenses are we looking at when we see that experience? We can call it a bad experience, a good experience, an exhilarating experience, a humbling experience, but that's how we're experiencing it. So that's one word we can really mess our lives up with if we want to, but we don't have to.
Ooh, okay, well, now I'm going to piggyback on that, what you just said, because one of the things that I teach and one of the things that I know for sure is all labels, every single label that I use, even if I say good, all labels subtract from happiness, meaning they subtract from, because labels are man-made. The experience is just experience. So good experience, bad experience, I don't even say that. That's why I just say experience. But I love that, first of all, I love that you said the word that you have been thinking about, because I do the same things. Words, and I think about it, and I keep thinking about it, and I come up with something totally different and or new than what I thought it meant or how I believed it made me feel. Interesting.
Sure.
I like that.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and labels to me has come to mean over the years, the definition of label that I would give is something like labels are what, when stripped off, let us see the true essence of life behind it. Labels head us in a direction that's the totally opposite of what we really want. We don't need a label. If you go back to your earlier statement about vibration and not using words for a month, we hear and see things differently when we strip off those labels. We come to a different place in our life, which is really, I think, largely the part of your definition of happiness that you gave at the beginning of your program, which I thought was wonderful, by the way.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Young.
I'm not sure we should agree so much, but I like it.
yeah. One of the things, okay, now we're really going to get down to the nitty-gritty. And I have a few people in the queue, actually a lot of people, and some want to speak and some want to just listen live, which I'll get to the callers in just a second. One of the things that I learned not to do, I just don't do it, I used to all the time, was this debate back and forth with people. because, quite frankly, I know that everybody's where they are, and they're there. In other words, they're on their journey, and they will get it in their time. And me going back and forth with people, because Jim, I used to debate whether the wind was blowing. I mean, I was always arguing about something. And
sure.
one of the chapters in my book is my book, Reality, Spirituality, The Truth About Happiness, can be found on Amazon. one of my chapters is your opinion is my opinion. Mm-hmm. And I've learned that in my real life, of course, I'm on the radio now, but I'm talking about in my real life, I agree and I am okay with anybody else's opinion, because
sure.
trying to persuade or convince somebody else to believe what I just don't do that anymore.
Right.
So that's another reason why I liked your post, because you said you were troubled by it, and I'm here to challenge you. Troubled by it, really? You are expressing yourself and allowing yourself, just expressing your opinion.
Mm-hmm. Well, it actually is a combination of both. When I say troubled, I'm sharing a feeling,
mm-hmm.
but it gave me an opportunity to share a feeling and an opinion really about it. It's really a little bit different than an opinion. I've worked very hard at learning to listen inwardly. The books that have come through me have all come that way. I would say intuitively, even to the point where I thought, "Where in the dickens is this coming from?" you've had that feeling, I'm sure, as you wrote your book, as you're doing your program. I hear it coming out of a space that's not sitting there thinking about what am I going to say, but rather letting it come out of your innate wisdom.
Right,
they're very different things, as you know so well. I don't think it's bad to share opinions and beliefs, but that we need to know that they're also limiting, and other people are going to hear them that way, depending on their own life and how they've lived it and where they are on the spiritual journey.
That's exactly what I'm saying. So when I state whatever, because I do quotes, I actually, you know, come up with quotes every day, maybe every other day, depending on what I'm inspired. And there are people that write me back and say, "I don't agree, Rebecca." And then I just like, okay.
Yep.
I respect you not agreeing, and then I am
sure.
done.
Sure. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. We don't have to convince anybody of anything. We can't anyhow.
Yeah.
Only they can change their own viewpoint if they want to. And if they don't want to, that's perfectly fine. You know, one of the things that I've had to learn is that I'm not in charge of the world. I'm a full-time job myself. Working on me, and so I don't really have a right or an intention of changing anybody else. I once thought I could, but that's impossible.
Me too. I used to think I could change it, other people, and I used to think that the way I thought they should be was the right. The word should. I don't even use that word should anymore in my life. It's a four-letter word to me. I use other four-letter words, but I don't use that one.
Yeah. But, you don't want to should on yourself.
No, exactly. but back to what you were saying is, convincing other people.
Right.
Actually, I totally forgot my thought. So next topic.
Yeah, it's just around the corner. It'll come back.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Let me go to the queue. We have a few people that want to speak to you, and I believe I know this number, area code 780. Is that you, Jay?
Yes, it is, Rebecca. Good morning.
Hi, good morning, Jay. Jay, say hi to Jim. Jim, say hi to Jay. Welcome to the program. What's your question, Jay?
Thanks, Rebecca. Hey, Jim. How's it going?
Good, Jay. How are you this morning?
Pretty good.
You sound like you're wide awake. Let's have it.
This is an interesting topic for the show. I'm just listening to it. It's great. From my discovery right now, you know, the love thing, you're talking about Kinship's love, and I'm getting to that point where it's either through, you know, media or movies and things like that. It seems like it's about like the nothingness. You talk about the non-duality of things.
Mm-hmm.
And I just did a workshop, a meetup group with somebody who We were just sitting face to face to each other in chairs, basically, and basically knee to knee. And the person would talk about for about 10 minutes on what would they like for just talking about. And I just sat there, and I just looked in the person's eyes and did nothing. I just looked in the person's eyes, and that was it. The person was trying to get my acknowledgement, but what was really, really interesting for me is that just practicing that nothingness. And I feel that that's, we always have to give, I'm thinking I'm moving away from, like, love is a gratitude and all these other things that are attached with it. And I feel it's just more about the nothingness of it. It's just, you know, being in the moment and the nothingness, it's really interesting to me for observing that now than, like I was just saying, the attachments of labels and things like that. I just wonder what your thoughts about what I've just said.
Well, I won't give you a thought first. I'm going to tell you what happened as you said that. I got a chill up my spine, and a chill for me is a wonderful sign that something being said is just filled with wisdom. It's your experience said in a way that I resonated with deeply. You know, I've often thought, that even as I started with Rebecca this morning, I thought, I wonder what would happen if Rebecca asked me a question and I just sat in silence and didn't answer it. What would happen? And we might find that, Rebecca.
I love it.
What you described, Jay, is a wonderful response to a relationship. It's merely to sit there and to be love rather than to use words to try to describe anything about it is very empowering and comes from a space that's very, very deep. I have no question that the person sitting across to you, knee to knee, felt that and came to understand a relationship between you and her or you and him in a very different way than if you use words. I certainly felt it, even in your description of it, let alone, of course, it's hard to sit knee to knee when we're on the radio here, but I felt it nonetheless, and I thought, boy, this fellow called Jay is really right on the money. So I admire that in you, and I would hope that you would not only by virtue of saying it on this program, but elsewhere in your life by your example, would help people understand that is the real relationship, not with words, but by sharing our energy one with the other.
Yeah, well, thank you very much for the compliment. It's an interesting point in my life right now. So I just kind of like see it in so many, like, movies inspire me. There's lots of hidden stuff in movies, and I always see the nothingness of, like, my forgiveness was just like, it wasn't surrender, it was just like doing nothing. It was just like, and everything, there's like lots of movies like that. I know it's three of them, but the thing, it's really interesting for me to say that, because I always think there's always action that has to be taken place, but it isn't. It's just like doing nothing. It was just,
Let me throw my two cents in.
Go ahead, Rebecca, and then I'd like to come in after it. I've got a little something, too. You go ahead.
Oh, good. Perfect. Jay, yeah, one of the things that I had to learn is just being and doing nothing and actually feeling good about doing nothing. And number two, feeling good about myself doing nothing. There is really no required action other than if I'm inspired. If I'm inspired, I know exactly the difference between if I'm inspired to do something or if I'm, oh, God, obligated. So I love that. And the other thing I want to say is one of the things when I was quiet for 40 days, I did learn that a lot of people, and I have to say I was probably the same way before, are uncomfortable with silence, uncomfortable with not saying, feeling a need to having to talk. I get that all the time. So just the fact that you are comfortable with being quiet and being silent without saying, that's huge. It's huge. It's a beautiful place to stay and be and live, in my opinion.
I think that's beautifully said, Rebecca. Absolutely. You know, I was going to add to that, Jay, that, you know, we're human beings, not human doings. And just being ourselves, and if that means in silence, that's perfectly okay. And I think Rebecca's right. A lot of people are very uncomfortable with silence. I was going to ask you, Jay, have you ever taken a ride with a friend and instead of filling all of the space with words, you just rode along, seeing maybe beauty along the ocean or whatever, and merely were present with each other? That's a very empowering feeling to think that you have a friend where you don't have to fill the space constantly with words and ideas and opinions and beliefs. Just be with each other. A lot of people can't be comfortable with that. They have to, I mean, I've been riding with some friends where my ear got talked off my head. You know, they could talk an ear off a brass monkey, but that shows your discomfort.
Well, listen, I'm laughing only because sometimes if I'm really feisty, if I'm really spunky, I will say I just need to be quiet because it's always the. In fact, this happened to me about a month ago. I was in at my 9 to 5, and it's the hi, good morning, how are you? Hi, good morning, how are you? Hi, and sometime in that particular day, maybe the sun wasn't aligned with the moon, who knows? But I said, you know what? Because I didn't say anything. I said good morning, but I didn't. How are you? And I was quiet. And another, how are you? Are you okay? How are you? And I just said, I'm not answering that question. I said, because I'm just sitting and I'm feeling it inside. Now, I didn't throw that out with any kind of love because I have to say it troubled. I'm going to use your word, Jim. It troubled me that I say being forced to say, oh, I'm doing fine. And I was such a rebel that day. I wasn't going to speak at all. So I just wanted to throw that out.
Yeah. Well, in some societies, they would take the question "How are you?" to be very intrusive, indicating this none of your business what they're feeling like. It's fine to say good morning or good afternoon, but it would without having met each other and developed a little bit of relationship, they wouldn't think of asking a question like that. And that has a little bit of credence, I think, in it. I think sometimes we go places with people. Asking them things or saying things that are a bit beyond. I've often been called ornery, and I don't think that's the right word for my personality. I like spunky better, by the way. But it's just one of those things.
Basically, what you're doing is you're just being yourself. You're being who you are, and your intention is just, and that's your intention. You're just being who you are, and it's not. If anybody's hurt or offended or whatever, it's really on them. I can't hurt anybody's feelings. I can't offend anybody.
Right.
It's really on them.
Yeah.
I want to let me just say this before, because I have a few people in the queue. And thank you so much, Jay, for contributing to the program. You know, I appreciate every time you call in. You know that, don't you?
Yes, I do. Thanks so much, Jim, and thanks so much, Rebecca, for allowing me to be part of the show. Look forward to the rest of the program. Sounds
thank
very,
you.
Very
pleasure.
Interesting. Very great show.
Pleasure,
thank
Jay.
You.
Thanks for bringing that to us here.
Yeah,
appreciate it.
I love it. And thank you for sharing where you are in your journey and being so open and so honest. If anyone wants to speak, you can just press the number 1. I have 10 people in the queue. So if you want to speak or you have a question, just press number 1 and you'll be connected to the show. And then I'll know that you want to ask Jim a question or me a question. One of the things, Jim, the topic is so, you know, this life is just so interesting. You said that you – okay, let me ask you a question.
Sure.
Here we go. When is the last time you were annoyed or angry or troubled and just expressed it? And what was it about? I'm so curious. Behind the scenes, I want to know.
I think the statement that I put on about unconditional love. When I say troubled, I don't mean deeply troubled. What it does is it strikes a. When I hear people use that word, it strikes a chord of dissonance, rather than affirmation. That's all I really mean by it. And I always ask, am I supposed to say anything about this or shut my big mouth? And if I hear, go ahead, there are some people that maybe need to hear a different point of view. It may not be that person that mm-hmm. used the term unconditionally loving, but it may be someone in the crowd somewhere that does. And you don't have to convince anybody. You put it out there. If they resonate with it, fine. If they don't, that's perfectly fine too. I learned long ago that my only purpose, in a sense, is to deliver. I don't have to decipher for anybody else. I can't in the first place.
Right,
so just deliver
right.
what it is we hear, that we are inspired to say, or inspired to be silent, whatever that is, deliver that, and don't worry about it because you can't control how it's received anyhow.
That's right.
So that's a little example of it. I went to a family gathering recently, and when I hear something said that sound rather dissonant instead of loving, I like to say things. I'm not afraid to open my mouth. Had somebody in the gathering that began to bash President Obama, and I stopped it right there.
Ooh, good one, good one. Now we're getting down to the nitty gritty. Let's go.
Oh yeah. Well, and I said, I mean, I said to the person, look, I'm only going to say one thing about your comment, and I hope you'll take it the way I intend it. You may not, but I'm going to say it anyhow.
Mm-hmm.
I said, if President Obama did nothing but be a man of color, he's done more for being president of the United States than any other president we've had, because as a result of it, the biases and prejudices that we have been taken from under the carpet and put right on top of the carpet. Now the question comes to us, what are we going to do now that we see it? Are we going to try to remove it from our being? Are we going to let it stay there and use it to call people names or to divide us, separate us yet again? And the person was stunned, never said a word, just never said a word. So that's an example of, you say, you know, being a little bit disturbed by something or whatever and saying what it is you feel.
Mm.
I mean, my mouth opened up and that's what came out. There was no
right.
response. It hasn't been since, as a matter of fact. But it's been posited on some level, and it may help, it may not, and I don't lose sleep over it one way or the other.
Right. Okay. So, and that you gave a perfect example. I love that. One of the things, and I don't know if the word troubled, triggered, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. So one of the things that I've learned that there's no discussion of politics, absolutely zero, none. There's no discussion of anything that is going to be, unless, like you said, unless I'm inspired to open my mouth. If I'm inspired, because it's one of the things that I also know is, I can't say I won't do this again. I'll never, because you never know what the next moment is going to be, and I'm not going to make any bold statements. But I know how I've done in the past, and I know what feels good, and I know. But I never know which moment or what's going to happen. I like that. You see, you were just inspired to say it, and when I'm inspired to say it, I know I'm supposed to be saying it. I know
right.
that the person whoever is hearing it, it's supposed to be said. There's no guilt about it. There's no feeling bad about it. There's no, oh God, none of that anymore. I know that everything that's happening is happening in perfect order.
Well, and that to me is part of your definition, as you expressed early on, of happiness. It's, it's going through life without fear of what it's doing or what you're saying or what your behavior is, but rather just being yourself. It's a wonderful thing. Fear is a great limitation, probably the greatest limitation on living true to ourselves. And it's great when you can just let yourself be.
Let me ask you a question, because you said this in another thing in your post, and I this is really, really, really important in my opinion, and that's the only one that matters to me. My opinion about me is the only opinion that it matters to me about me.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay. And the universe. And the universe's opinion about me is really, really high.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
So
I want
to ask you, how did you learn, accept, are okay with who you are? How do you get to that place? How do you discover who you are?
Well, that's a very good question.
You, specifically you.
I'm listening inwardly. I think you probably have to ask the several psychologists that I worked with over the years. No, I'm just being playful. It's a very interesting question. I think I was fortunate as a youngster that both of my parents had to work. They made very meager wages. I came out of I'm not sure I could even call it lower middle income family, but certainly a blue collar family. And both my parents worked, so I was alone a lot. My sister was older than I was. My younger brother didn't come around until 9 years after I was born. And so I had to learn to fend for myself, make decisions for myself, and finally come to the understanding, I think probably as a teenager, I would say, that I didn't have to please the universe. The only person I had to please was myself. And if I was coming from a place of honesty and internal integrity, I was okay. And of course, it went back and forth. I allowed myself to get tested. I have to take responsibility for that. I can't say people tested me. I allowed myself to be tested in certain ways. And I began to feel I was becoming a people pleaser. And I thought, no, that's not the way to go. If I'm going to give up a piece of my soul every time I think somebody wants me to say or do something what they want me to say or do, then I'm going to give away my soul, and I'm not about to do that. I didn't have that vocabulary back then, but it seemed like I was blessed with an inner understanding that was so. And I began to live my life that way, and I've always tried to do that. In my adult life and some of my work, someone once asked me if my job required me to drink alcohol. And I said, well, why would you ask that? And I said, well, at this party, we saw a lot of people drinking a lot. We thought maybe you might get into that, and we didn't want that for you. And I said, no. I said, if you noticed, I had a glass of water because when I'm in social situations like that, I want to be able to be absolutely truthful of what I say, and I don't want to have to worry about it, whether I'm trying to say something to please someone or not. I really want to be me. And if I'm having alcohol, and I'm not a teetotaler, I like a glass of good red or a three.
Don Julio to Blanco is my favorite, but keep going.
There you go. Okay. So it's one of those things where you learn to be comfortable with yourself.
Okay. But I understand what you're saying, let me just throw this in really quick. When I was in my 20s, I took the Myers-Briggs test about personalities, 16 personalities. Mm-hmm. And I remember it was a long test, hundreds of questions, and I remember getting the results of the test, and I remember looking at them thinking, this isn't me. This is not even who I am.
Mm-hmm.
But I recognize the description of this personality that I tested, and it was the personality. It was my father.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, interesting.
So that's what I meant when getting rid of these layers. When I was younger, it was a lot of being who my mother wanted me to be, and my father, who my father was, looking at them and thinking that was the way. I didn't even know who the hell I was until, I would say, 10 years ago. I mean, little by little, getting.
Sure.
But, I mean, fully who I am, who I really am, I thought, I used to walk around. This is how I solve my problems. I would walk around with a hammer, not a real hammer, but a hammer, banging,
sure,
banging, banging, causing all kinds of, quote, destruction. And now my weapon of choice is a feather. But I thought this hammer, I thought walking around with a hammer, I thought that was, number one, that was me. Number two, it was effective. So that's what I'm talking about when I say, who are you? Are you still discovering more parts of you? Are you still discovering who you are, or is it already set and you know and comfortable?
Oh, that's a wonderful question. A wonderful question, and one we need to ask ourselves constantly, I think. My sense is that the way we find out about ourselves is through relationship. And I don't necessarily mean with another person, although that's very important. Because as we listen for our resonance, when we're in a relationship with another person, just like in our conversations here, we're being in relationship, but also relationship with our thoughts, our ideas, our actions, relationship with nature. We learn a great deal about ourselves. I came across a wonderful question on internet the other day. Do I have it here? Yes. The question is, can you remember who you were before the world told you who you should be? And I think that that's part of what you were saying about you and your father, or how your father saw you. And people have seen me in their own, through their own eyes. That's the only way they can see me over the years. And I had to learn not to take anything personally at all, because anybody's need to say something about me says everything about how they see me, but probably less than 1% about the real me. So I don't take it personally. At least I try not to. I'm not always perfect.
Let me throw in because you're absolutely right. One of the things that I teach in my classes about the importance of happiness is take nothing personally. Even, you know, this road rage, if you're on the road and somebody cuts you off, you don't even take that personally. Take nothing personally, because it's not personal.
Right.
I don't care how it sounds. I don't care if somebody uses your name. I don't care if they say, Rebecca, you fill in the blank, blah, blah, blah. It's still not personal. Whatever anybody says to you is really about themselves. So if you know that and you get that, you will not take anything personally. What the world, the world, the universe is not personal at all.
Mm-hmm.
Things that happen are not personal. That's my opinion.
I couldn't agree more with it. I mean, it's absolutely true. There's something that came through me years ago. It's something like, I am all that is, forever becoming aware of itself. The rest is personality, seeking endlessly to fashion itself into something it already is. And that goes back to this question that I read a minute ago. Can you remember who you were before the world told you who you should be? Those ideas that people want us to live by, to prove to them that they're right about us, it's absolutely crazy. It is a form of insanity, really. But we take that on, and we become a mother pleaser or a father pleaser or a lover pleaser, rather than being ourselves. I've been in conversations with a lot of people, as I'm sure you have, Rebecca, and your teaching and otherwise, and just in your normal day-to-day relationships, where people get engaged in conversations with other people and they begin to take on what other people believe about them or want to tell them how to live their lives.
Well, I'm not observing people that closely, Jim, because that doesn't do anything for my happiness. I'm just letting everybody do how they're doing it, interact the way they're interacting, and their journey is their journey. I'm not really noticing. I used to notice and get into what other people are doing, but now it's just like, okay, they're just part of the part of the background, or part of my, they're in my way. But when I say in my way, they're in my life for this moment.
Right.
No, I don't notice what people are doing anymore at all. Zero.
Well, if you do notice it, you certainly don't respond to it, and I think that's the important thing. It's not ours to fix, not ours to change. So, it's fascinating. People often say something wrong with you, and I say, well, why do you say that? They say, well, you're so quiet. I said, I'm just being me. I'm not being how they want me to be, but I'm being me. People often said, you're a real extrovert. I said, no, actually, I'm a huge introvert. And they say, an introvert? There's no way. I said, no, I learned to be social and how to be social. But I get recharged by going inward. I don't get recharged by being in a group of people. I can get people out pretty quickly.
So I'm going to throw something out at you. So you're a responder.
Say a little more about that. I want to make sure I understand you.
Meaning that if someone says something to you that you disagree with, or something that you use the example earlier about Obama or something that you don't believe, or something that isn't your truth, or something that you know what's wrong with you, it's just being me. It's responding. You respond. In other words, I'm not judging it. Well, yes, I am. But yeah, you're a responder.
Well, I do respond. That's for sure. But
yeah.
All right. Yeah. Okay.
It's just interesting. They're a responder. I used to be a responder. I just can't do that responding thing anymore. It doesn't sit with who I am right now. That's why I just recognize.
I don't always respond, but that's why I wanted to know what you meant by responder. But I was thinking more about how people take being an introvert or extrovert about being either outward or inward.
Mm-hmm.
And it really, the finer definition of introvert and extrovert deals with how you get recharged. Do you get recharged around others, or do you get recharged by going inward? I get recharged by going inward. Very much so. I need my alone time. I mean, I know that about myself. And if I don't, and I get peopled out too quickly, then I have to excuse myself for a bit and take even 20 minutes away to regroup and get within myself again, get grounded.
Now, that's really interesting, because you're absolutely right. And number two, I always get chills. I get chills, you said, when you hear wisdom. I get chills when I say I hear the truth, you know, universal truth. I get chills. And I just got chills with that, because number one, I'm the same way. The being out in the world is very draining, very, very draining. So coming back, being by myself, not talking, not answering the phone, not returning texts, not going on Facebook every single day. That's how I use the word hibernate. I just go into this hibernation mode. I didn't know that about myself years ago. I didn't know. I thought I was out there, but now I know more. That's what I'm saying, getting to know yourself a little bit more. And you said it. You know that you need to be recharged. You know you need to be quiet. You excuse yourself. I just disappear. I just go, and then all of a sudden, zip, I'm gone. Where did she go? And I'm just out of there. Sometimes I don't even say I'm leaving. I'm just gone. Mm-hmm. I love it.
Well, and yet your personality, to those who don't know that definition, that working definition, would call you extrovert. I mean, you're ebullient, you flow beautifully, you've got a lot of energy in your voice, a lot of light in your energy. They would think that you were an extrovert, and yet you sound, from your description, like you're more of an introvert. That's how you get recharged. So there again, it's a word, and we learn to think about them or to resonate with them in a very different way than we always have. To me, it's a great experience. I learn something every day just by listening that way.
Yeah, well, let me throw this out. One of the things that I've learned is that I'm a combination of everything. It just depends on the moment. I can be an extrovert. Listen, I'm on that stage, baby. I'm up there singing and dancing and doing a jig. I can do that. I can entertain, and I can also do the other. So I'm a combination of both, depending on the moment, depending on the day, depending on the hour. And sometimes I can go inside for 2 days, 3 days. Sometimes I only need an hour. It doesn't matter. But I love just being... We used the words earlier, but just a combination of everything. I'm a combination of everything.
Sure. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, just depending on, because being very in tune to ask, I always ask myself this question, does this feel good to me? Does this feel good? Or does this feel forced? Does this feel like I really wanted to, you know, does it feel right? It's like putting on a shoe that's a little bit too tight. Does it feel comfortable, or does it feel a little bit too tight? And I can feel the difference, and whichever way I'm feeling, I always choose the way that feels good.
That's nice. I like the way you said that, very much so. Yeah, it's very interesting. we need to listen to ourselves and to understand why it is we're doing things. As Course in Miracles says, we either choose out of love or out of fear, one of the two. Choosing love or to be comfortable with what we're feeling and to go with that is, to me, the same thing as saying we're going with love. Going against the grain is more fearful and not a very healthy thing, really.
Now I have a question for you.
Okay.
Because you're saying choosing love or choosing fear, and so my question is this. I'm trying to figure out how to, not how to ask the question, but how to phrase the question. So do you think that, you can choose your, okay, do you think that it is destiny? Are we destined to live out this journey? Am I living out my destiny? Or I actually have control over, I have a choice over how my life is going to unfold.
Wow. Wow. I could give 140 pages on that, but I'm not sure I could do that in a sentence or two.
And you only have three words. You have to answer it in three words.
In three words. Thanks a lot.
Oh, that's it. That's your word. Time's up.
Okay,
next
there it
question.
Is. Thanks a lot. That's three words. Okay. I've answered your question. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, in my own life, I would say that I've had to learn that my destiny is to live true to myself and that and to let fall away all that everybody else has said how I should live and how I should be. That to me would be my destiny, and it's a never-ending battle. Let me put it this way: a friend of mine once asked me at lunch, we were having a conversation, and out of nowhere he says, "Do you think you're enlightened?"
Mm-hmm.
And I had no idea where he's coming from, and I just listened, and I was inspired to say, "I think enlightenment is our innate state of being. It's just that we've been told that we have to become enlightened rather than accept our innate state of enlightenment." And so believing that, we go out there seek, constantly trying to be something we already are or to find something we already know. My favorite expression is, if somebody says to me, "Can you tell me the answer to this?" I said, "No, go to your inner Google."
Okay, can you answer my question?
Which one?
Okay, it's either or. It's do we have any control over how this life is going to unfold, or was it already decided and we are just living our destiny? That's either A or B. Unless you have a C.
Well, I'm listening. We have choice. What we learn along the way, if we really listen inwardly, is that it's not a choice of A or B or finding a C, but we learn that there really is only one choice, and that is to be who we really are. The other choices are things that we live off of what somebody else tells us we are. So to me, our destiny is simply to be who we are. We make choices around that as to be that or not to be that.
Okay, let me ask it this way, because you're not answering my question, which I love, because now I got to come up with a new way to ask it. So thank you for that. Thank you. This is my question, because I see this a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Vision boards, affirmations, positive thinking, creating, visualizing a house on a hill. I'm asking you, can we, does that work?
Well, not in the way people, I don't think it works the way people usually talk about it. They say that you envision something and you're drawing it to you. I think what happens is that we envision something and what has happened, it brought our consciousness, it's awakened our consciousness about that possibility and something we desire. And I'll answer your question in one sentence. If you want to know what you're thinking about, let's say about buying a new car, and you're thinking about buying a Volkswagen, what you'll see if you get out on the thruway or drive through the city, you begin to see a lot of Volkswagens because your awareness now is far more open to it. Your consciousness is more open to it. So are you attracting yourself to it? No, you're just more aware. You're just more aware. And there it is, and you say, yeah, that's what I really want to get. I want to get the Volkswagen just like the one that passed by me. I want to get a red convertible. But it's because you're conscious of it. You didn't draw that. For anyone to say that you drew that Volkswagen that just went by you on the street to you is insanity. You didn't draw it to you. You merely were more conscious about Volkswagens and what you wanted in life. And there it was. You saw it. You want to be a handsome. Go ahead.
So let me ask you this. Do you think that we have a choice? We have a choice about what we listen. We want desires. You know what? Forget it. I don't even know how to answer.
No. Go ahead. Let it come out. It doesn't make any difference how it comes out. Let it come out.
I know, Mr. I know. And then I'm looking at the clock, and we only have four minutes left.
Yeah. Well, maybe we can do this again. I'm thinking of doing a radio show starting this fall, so I'll interview you, and we can turn this around the other way. Then I can get to ask you all the questions.
Oh, good. And then I'll sit in silence. So how would you like that?
There you go. That's fine. And I'll try to resonate
with
the silence.
This has really, really been a pleasure, and I would love to have you on again. It's just a really there's so many questions that just came to me that I really we don't have time to get into. But
sure.
You're a fascinating young man, and it's not very often that I meet or interview people that have the same kind of energy and. You know, okay, I get it. I'm trying to find something that we disagree on, and I was trying to really find it because I like that the best.
Sure.
Just because my audience gets to hear different perspectives.
Absolutely.
So I like that.
I understand it.
So tell everyone where they can find you and your information before we...
Sure. Thank you for that opportunity, Rebecca. You can go to my website, which is creationspirit.net. And if you want to email me and ask me a question later on, you can go to BeHereNow@gmail.com. I'll be happy to respond to you. Drop me a note. I'm happy to carry on a conversation and build a relationship. That's what this life's about. And I'm thrilled for the opportunity, Rebecca, to be here with you today, and would be glad to be back with you again.
Yeah, thank you so much, Jim. I really enjoyed having you on the show. I really did. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
I call it compatible energy. That's what I call it.
Nice.
Yeah, feel that.
I agree.
Yeah. So, everyone, thank you so much for listening to Reality Spirituality. Tomorrow I have another guest, and his name is, I'm trying to remember, it's Michael Zilis, Evan Michael Zilis, and he's going to be fascinating. He's going to be teaching us how to organize, spiritually organize, clarity, clearing out space. It was just really interesting. He's an interesting guy, just like my. But thank you for listening. Reality Spirituality is heard every Saturday and Sunday at 7 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. My website is RebeccaNorrington.com. That's RebeccaNorrington. My book, Reality Spirituality, The Truth About Happiness, the first edition, can be found on Amazon. And in fact, I'm editing it now because there's a few publishers that are interested in publishing it, and so really excited about that. So if you order the copy from this limited edition, then it's going to be a collector's item. Just trust me on that. Now, follow me on Twitter at RL Norrington, and if you've liked the show, and I know you have, go to Facebook and like Reality Spirituality's Facebook page. I want you to remember, before we go, I want you to remember who you are. You are a physical extension of the universe. You're always growing. You're always changing. Love is patient and love is kind. Be patient and be kind to yourself. Be your own best friend. And just like Abraham says, you cannot have a happy ending to an unhappy journey. It is about the journey. Thank you so much for listening to Reality Spirituality. I will talk to you again tomorrow.
Yeah, oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah.
All the spirituality.
It's a new experience.
Reality Spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man.
Reality Spirituality.
Questions for RLN?
Reality Spirituality.
Yeah, it's time to get some answers,
Reality,
baby.
Reality Spirituality.
Oh, now we get real.
Get Reality Spirituality.
Yeah, it's time to get down.
Reality Spirituality.
Yeah, you're going to feel good now.
Hi, Jim. Let me call you back on the other line, okay?
Okay, sure enough.
Okay.
Thanks. Bye. Uh-huh.